Today we're going to talk a little bit about the time of offertory, from offertory to the preface. So I'll just read through some of the prayers that are said at the altar. For the offering of the bread and wine, accept, O Holy Father, Almighty and Eternal God, this unspotted host, which I, thine unworthy servant, offer to thee, my living and true God, for mine innumerable sins, offenses, and negligences, and for all here present, as also for all faithful Christians, both living and dead, that it may be of avail for salvation both to me and to them unto life everlasting. Amen. And then with the mingling of the water and wine, the priest says, O God, who in creating human nature didst wonderfully dignify it and hast still more wonderfully restored it, grant that by the mystery of this water and wine we may become partakers of his divine nature, who deigned to become partakers of our human nature, even Jesus Christ our Lord, thy Son, who with thee liveth and reigneth in the unity of the Holy Ghost, God, world without end. Amen. And then with the offering of the wine, we offer to thee, O Lord, the chalice of salvation, beseeching thy clemency, that it may ascend before thy divine majesty as a sweet savor for our salvation and for that of the whole world. Amen. And then the priest bows down and prays, accept us, O Lord, in the spirit of humility and contrition of heart, and grant that the sacrifice which we offer this day in thy sight may be pleasing to thee, O Lord God. And he blesses it, come, O Almighty and Eternal God, the Sanctifier, and bless this sacrifice prepared for the glory of thy holy name. He then incenses the offerings. And then with the washing of the hands, I will wash my hands among the innocent, and I will compass thine altar, O Lord, that I may hear the voice of thy praise and tell of all thy wondrous works. I have loved, O Lord, the beauty of thy house and the place where thy glory dwelleth. Take not away my soul, O God, with the wicked, nor my life with bloody men, in whose hands are iniquities, their right hand is filled with gifts. But as for me, I have walked in mine innocence, redeem me and have mercy on me. My foot hath stood in the direct way, in the churches I will bless thee, O Lord. So that's kind of the rite in which we participate in for offertory. And so I just want to maybe give a few scripture examples of where there was kind of an offering. The first really is with the sin of Cain and Abel, where the offerings are given, but there's one that is more pleasing and acceptable to the Lord, because it was a more generous, complete gift to the Lord, and it was pleasing to the Lord. And so I think it's important for us to realize that when the gifts are brought to the altar, the bread and the wine, those are kind of symbolic of our earthly gifts that we are bringing to the Lord. And so we want those gifts to be pleasing to the Lord. And so a part of that is this generosity of giving. In the Old Testament, what was asked to be given was the firstborn, and it should be without blemish, right? It should be the best of the flock is that which ought to be offered to the Lord and sacrificed. And so we always have to ask ourselves, am I offering the greatest that I have? And we have to look not just at our possessions, but everything, our time, our talent, our attention, everything that we have. And when we celebrate the liturgy, it's a cosmic reality. And so what you are offering is certainly yourselves, but you're offering every aspect of your life, recognizing all the many gifts that the Lord has given you and to me. We are called to subdue those things of the earth, order them to the glory and the praise of God. And when the gifts are brought to the altar, that is what is being offered. It is everything of creation of which the Lord has given to us, that by his grace and the knowledge of his revelation, we have tried to order them to his glory and praise, and that is the gift that we are offering to him. But outside of kind of the earthly possessions, what is the greatest gift we can offer? It is our obedience to the Lord. Adam and Eve were given the garden, and they were asked to do one thing: do not eat of the forbidden fruit. That's it. But in their disobedience, sin entered the world, and disorder, and all those kinds of things. Christ, in his offering of himself, he corrected that disobedience. He was obedient unto death, death on a cross. And God highly exalted him, bestowing on him the name above every other name. And so our obedience to the Lord is so important. In our daily activities. And another scripture passage: sacrifice and oblation I did not want, but a humble, contrite heart, O God. It is a humble and contrite heart that the Lord desires from us. And is that not what is required when we are obedient to the Lord? I want to share with you just one experience that I had that has changed my understanding of offertory for the rest of my life. I was studying in Rome, and I hate to say this, but Rome, I mean, it's a gorgeous city. It's got a ton of historic value and beautiful art and all kinds of things. Saints buried there. It's an amazing city. But I hate to say that after like 6 months, it becomes a city. And that was wearing on me. This idea that Rome was just another city. It's not just another city. But that was my experience. One day I was invited by a friend from the seminary to serve at a final consecration of, I think, 18 missionaries of charity. And so it was done in St. Peter's Basilica, and so I was there serving with the other servers, and I got to see these 18 sisters make their final vows, their final promises, and they laid their life down to Christ, and they were beaming. But the aspect that really impacted me was after their consecration, they got up and they went to the back of the chapel that where they were where the Mass was being said, and they brought up individual hosts, and the priest stood at the foot of the sanctuary with a paten that was empty. And these sisters put the host on the paten. They were giving, that little host was symbolic of their entire life. So small and so simple. They had laid their life down. They put their life on that paten. The priest turned around, took it to the altar, blessed it, said the words of consecration. It became the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. These women who laid their life down received the Savior of the world in return. What a small price they gave in regards to what they received in return. That day, St. Peter's changed for me. As I looked around at the amazing architecture, the grandeur of the building, the amazing, beautiful artwork, the stonework, the marble, everything, I thought, this is a small communication of the reality of which this church is built upon. And that is the faith of the martyrs whose blood was shed here. This building, everything that it contains and possesses, all the extravagance, is merely trying to communicate one simple fact. Faith in Jesus Christ. These women who laid their life down to serve the poorest of the poor had made a profound act of faith, and they did it with great generosity. And they were beaming, and there was joy because of the gift that they had already received and that they were going to continue to receive in Jesus Christ. And so, dear brothers and sisters, when the bread and the wine are brought to the altar, you, like the sisters, are bringing yourselves and every aspect of yourself and your tie to all of creation in the various aspects of your lives that hopefully are being ordered to the glory of God. You are bringing them to the altar. You're laying them on the altar. The Lord is receiving that with joy, and in return, he gives himself to you. There is one little practice that my spiritual director shared with me that I'm going to share with you. And I think it's helpful in offering a more full and perfect offering, sacrifice to the Lord. He did this with a little, with a boys group that he ran. He said, we need to offer gifts to the Lord. We need to make little bitty sacrifices. And that is so that when we give a gift, it's not an empty gift. And so what he would do was he would take a little lapel pin, which is a rose, which is a little symbol of pro-life. And we'd have the men wear them on the inside of their innermost garment so that nobody could see it. But it would rub them all day. And so they would feel it. And throughout the day, they would make little bitty sacrifices. And they would take that symbolically and they would place that kind of with their pin. And they were offering that sacrifice for some woman in their life. Might have been their mother, might have been a sister, might have been somebody else that they were close to, that they knew were in need of prayers or sacrifices. And at the end of the day, when they would get home, they would have an image of Our Lady, either in their room or in their bathroom. And they would take that rose off and they would give it to her. It was no longer just a rose. It was a rose that symbolized the gift of their heart, They had made many sacrifices throughout the day, and that rose was merely a symbol of the gift of all the various sacrifices and extra kind of going out of their way throughout the day. So I invite you to think of how you might do something of that same degree, that you're offering daily sacrifices and offerings of generosity, but at the end of the day, it needs to be symbolized so that when we give a gift, even if it's a spiritual gift, it's made concrete for us. And if we do that on a daily basis, how much more acceptable will the bread and the wine be that'll be brought to the altar by the priest and offered on your behalf to God the Father, which will be blessed? All of your works, all your prayers, all your sacrifices, all your acts of generosity will be given to the Lord, blessed, and given in return back to you will be Jesus Christ. What we give is so poor, and yet what we get in return is one of the greatest gifts of all.